One psychologist, 20 plus years of experience, and thousands of patients. I'm Dr. Jennifer Pavlik-Bellingrat, and you're listening to the Psych with a Mic podcast. Let's get to it. Hello, and welcome back. Thank you so much for joining me. Just a quick reminder that this podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose or treat a mental health issue without consulting a qualified provider. If you think you need help with a psychological issue, be smart and reach out for an evaluation by a licensed professional. A while back, I got this question as part of my Ask Dr. Jen series. I own my own business, and I struggle with doing what it takes to have consistent success. I know my confidence is somewhat of an issue, but I feel like there's more to it than that. What would you say is the primary ingredient for success? Love this question. Whatever you're selling, an idea, a product, or even yourself, the number one ingredient for success is enthusiasm, and it has three components, what I call the power trio of enthusiasm: excitement, eagerness, and energy. So first is excitement, which is easy when you promote a product you love or an idea you believe in. This intrinsic motivation acts as a natural fuel. It's that spark that ignites the initial interest and makes the work feel less like a chore and more like a passion project. To cultivate excitement, there are three important things you can do. First, reconnect with your why. Regularly revisit the initial reasons you started your business. What problem were you trying to solve? What impact did you hope to make? Second, focus on the positive aspects. Even in challenging times, consciously directing attention to the rewarding parts of your work can reignite your excitement. And third, continuously learn and innovate. Staying curious and exploring new facets of your industry or offering can keep things fresh and exciting. Second in the trio is eagerness, which is fully expressed when you overcome your internal objections and let your passion show. This is where the internal work comes in. It's about translating that initial excitement into proactive engagement. Overcoming internal objections, those self-doubts and limiting beliefs, is paramount. Eagerness manifests as proactive outreach. This means not waiting for opportunities to come, but actively seeking them out, making connections, pitching ideas, and promoting your business. Second is visible passion. This is demonstrated by allowing your genuine enthusiasm to shine through in your interactions, whether it's a sales pitch, a networking event, or a social media post. Third is resilience in the face of setbacks. This involves maintaining a forward-looking perspective and a willingness to keep trying despite those challenges. Third in the trio is energy, which is cultivated when you know how to overcome external objections and show up in an authentic way. This is the outward manifestation of excitement and eagerness. It's the sustained effort and authentic presence that draws people in. Cultivating energy involves overcoming external objections. This involves developing effective strategies for handling rejections you might get, addressing concerns others have, and navigating the practical challenges of running a business. Also, authentic self-expression. This means showing up as your genuine self, building trust and rapport with your audience. People want to connect with the real you. And it also means self-care. Recognizing that sustained energy requires taking care of physical and mental well-being. This includes managing your stress, getting enough rest, and overall maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Entrepreneurs tend to be thinkers, and while analytical skills are essential for strategy and problem solving, they can become a liability when they lead to paralysis by analysis. Overthinking often breeds negativity in the form of failure, perfectionism, and self-doubt. Let's look at each of those briefly. So fear of failure is when you imagine all the potential negative outcomes, and that can prevent action. Perfectionism, the belief that everything needs to be flawless before it's presented to the world, leads to procrastination. And self-doubt, negative thought spirals can erode your confidence and the willingness to take risks. Being a thinker is generally good when it comes to generating ideas and making things happen. It's bad, though, when it leads to overthinking and letting negative thoughts create a lack of confidence that gets in the way. But I'm going to say something about confidence that may shock you. Your lack of confidence is nothing but an excuse. An excuse that you use to keep you from putting yourself out there, posing a question, asking for a referral, just sharing your product or sending a simple text about your event. This is the difference between you and those you admire. Successful people still put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everyone else. They're not special. They just don't use lack of confidence as an excuse. They feel fear like anybody else. They simply feel the fear and do it anyway. And they do it because they understand two things. Fear is temporary, but regret is forever. And stepping outside your comfort zone and experiencing even small wins helps build a positive feedback loop in that confidence breeds success, breeds confidence. Listen, no one is confident all the time. I've been a psychologist and coach for over 20 years. I've worked with very successful entrepreneurs, surgeons, attorneys, millionaires, even motivational speakers. Trust me, no one is fearless. So when fear comes in, you have to figure out where it comes from and how to reframe it to get out of your own way. Fear is a feeling, and feelings always come from thoughts. Some people feel fear when they see a spider. Others don't. The difference is the thoughts that occur to them when they see the spider. Those thoughts lead to feelings, which then generate behavior in response to the spider. But fear is just a feeling, not a fact. And you have to learn to put a different feeling in its place. Confidence. Now, fear happens when your brain plays tricks on you. It starts with your underlying self-limiting beliefs, which generate objections in your mind. You have to choose to see things differently. Instead of letting fear stop you, reframe it as false evidence appearing real. Listen, fear is a liar. You have to take control of your emotional responses by examining and challenging your underlying thoughts. Think about it. Most of the things we worry about never actually happen. Now, believe it or not, you were born with a decent amount of confidence. How do I know this? Well, how did you learn to walk, talk, ride a bike, and tie your shoes? You did those things because you had some level of belief in yourself that you could. Otherwise, you never even would have tried. Somewhere along the way, you lost some of your confidence due to life experiences and negative messages that eroded your innate belief in yourself. To overcome this, again, you have to change the way things occur to you. The truth is, we don't have control over the thoughts that pop into our heads. For example, if I said to you, hey, I'll give you $1,000 if you do not picture a pink elephant in your head right now. What did you just envision? It's the same with negative automatic thoughts. They're like unwanted guests. You may not be able to control when they pop in, but you can decide when they leave. It's how we sort and dispose of our negative thoughts that makes or breaks us. When it comes to fear, you have two choices. Stay stuck in it or see it as a call to action. Your brain doesn't know the difference between anxiety and excitement, so default to the latter and get moving. When fear creeps in, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is my fear telling me? In other words, what does it mean? Why is it here right now? Really think about what you're afraid of. What's on the other side of that door you're scared to walk through, whatever that is for you? By exploring the underlying concerns and potential threats, real or perceived, you can begin to address them more effectively. Then I want you to employ my fear to action approach, which includes four ways to dispute fear and get over your dang self. I'll talk about one of them here and then direct you to a source for the others. So method one is this. When fear strikes, let go of that fear, false evidence appearing real, and instead use your fear as a reminder to factually examine alternative realities. This means getting out of your feelings and looking at things differently. It means asking yourself, what other ways can I see what's in front of me? You have to change the way the situation occurs to you to take the power out of it and see it as just another task on your to-do list, like getting gas or picking up groceries. You can do this by playing devil's advocate and presenting yourself with an alternative perspective, such as, maybe I'll actually succeed to some degree. Or maybe it won't be a complete and utter failure. You can also ask yourself, what's another interpretation of events? Or how else might this play out in a way that's not life-threatening? That one should keep you busy for a while. Very few things are life and death. Listen, you guys, you gotta just roll the dice and go for it. Divorce the lie that you can't do it and marry the truth that you can at least try. Trust me when I tell you that you can learn to think differently. If you want information on the other three ways to stop using your lack of confidence as an excuse, check out my inexpensive course on overcoming negative automatic thoughts at thepsychoeducationacademy.com. Small investment, big returns. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you'd go on and leave a 5-star review for me. And if you think this could be helpful to other people, I'd love for you to share this free resource to your social media feeds. You can share by tapping the menu button on whatever podcast platform you're listening on right now. Also, take a look at the show notes for information on all the different ways to reach me or see what else I've posted. And if you're interested in teletherapy or coaching with me, just shoot me an email through my website, drbellingrot.com. All right, that's it for today, y'all. Thank you so, so much for listening in. And until next time, I wish you peace, blessings, and fantastic mental health. Take good care and drink more water.